Adventure Box presents My Day in the Future, written by Natalie Summers, illustrated by Francois Maumont, and colours by Sasha Caspi. Chapter 1. Time Double.
It was just a normal morning. Dad called me 3 times to get me out of bed. Then I complained when I saw the package of cereals on the table. Oh no, not whole wheat. I want chocolate-flavoured cereals. Mum had explained to me that whole wheat cereals were more nourishing. I munched 1 or 2 spoonfuls, thinking to myself that I will get plenty of nourishment later, because on Tuesdays it was steak and chips for lunch at the school canteen. I went back to my room and sat down to finish a match of One-Way Ticket to the Future, my favourite video game. Dad called to me from downstairs.
Lewis, hurry up!
I carried on eliminating horrible robots on the screen and I called back. I'm putting on my socks. Suddenly, there was a flash of purple light in my bedroom and a boy with green eyes, like me, blonde hair, like me, and a turned-up nose, like me, appeared. It was me, but it couldn't be me because, of course, I was me. Also, the boy was wearing a strange blue outfit. I was gobsmacked. I stammered, "What? You? Who?" The boy replied with a smile. "My name is not What You Who. It's Simon. I am your time double." I was in shock. I repeated, my time double?
Yes, Lewis, everyone has a time and space double. Didn't you know? I come from the year 2523.
I couldn't believe the story about time doubles, but the more I looked at Simon, the more I was convinced he was telling the truth. He looked so like me that I felt like I was staring at myself in a mirror that could transform clothes.
Chapter 2. Teletransporter.
Simon went on. I used my father's time rocket to find you. I interrupted him.
Time rocket?
Time rocket. It's a machine for travelling through time. And he explained to me that his father's job was to make sure people respected the time code. For example, the time code said that nobody could travel to before 2051 when time rockets were invented. I said, but then you shouldn't be here in 2023.
Simon looked embarrassed and admitted that I was right. He explained that as he was really interested in ancient history, he couldn't wait to travel to the past. But if he was away, everyone would know. So when he discovered that I was his double and I lived in 2023, he thought that we could swap places for a day. I leapt off my bed shouting, "That's so cool! I've always dreamed of living in the future so I could see flying cars and all the things that have been invented in your time. By the way, is it possible to destroy robots with a laser beam?" Simon looked surprised. He hesitated for a second, and then he said with a strange smile,
I'll let you find out for yourself.
He looked round my room and said, I'm interested in your era. It seems that life was good in 2023. I didn't get time to reply or ask him questions. Simon put a small box in my hands. It had a screen and lots of different coloured buttons on it. He explained that it was a teletransporter and that, to travel into the future, I had to press the red button. I asked him what the other buttons were for. Simon replied,
The green one is very useful. If you have any questions, press it and it will give you the answers. The black one will bring you back to 2023. When you are ready to come back, you will have to sit in the time rocket and start it up. a video will appear on the screen telling you what to do.
He seemed so sure of himself that it all sounded very easy. I really wanted to visit the world in 2523. So Simon and I swapped clothes. We were just finishing changing when we heard Dad coming upstairs. Simon said, "Red button, quick!" As I pressed the red button, I heard Simon's voice saying, "One last thing. We can't stay more than 9 hours out of our time, as it might be dangerous for our health." I felt a bit scared, but it was too late to go back. There was a flash of light and I closed my eyes. Chapter 3. Welcome to the Future. When I opened my eyes, I was sitting in a kind of plastic tube with a dashboard full of buttons and screens in front of me. I realised it was the time rocket. I was in a room with completely white walls. I was fascinated, but I didn't have time to look around because a voice said, "Simon, you are going to be late again." That was a mum's voice. Even in 2523, they still sounded the same. I quickly stepped out of the time rocket and walked towards some stairs. But I put my foot on the first step and I almost fell over because the stairs started moving automatically. I managed to stay standing and I let the stairs carry me up. A woman was waiting for me at the top. She was wearing the same kind of blue suit that Simon had given me. She said in a cross voice, "Simon, you know that Dad does not like you going down to the basement." Phew! She had not noticed that I was not her real son. I followed her to the main door of the house and we went out and down a path. A transparent pod without wheels or a steering wheel was parked there. We got inside and Simon's mother said, "To school." The capsule took off immediately, just like in my dreams. It was so cool. All around us in the city, there were flying pods like ours that passed each other but never touched. Inside, people were talking or looking at screens. We landed in front of a glass building. Lots of children were going inside. Simon's mother wished me good luck for my test on time transitions and she took off again. Oops, a test on time transitions? What was that all about? I suddenly wondered if Simon had chosen to do the exchange on this day just by chance. Chapter 4, Block 46. As I walked through the door of that strange school in the future, I thought that maybe I could use the green button on the teletransporter to get the answers for the test. But no sooner had I taken the little box out of my pocket than something grabbed it out of my hands. I turned around and found myself face to face with a robot in uniform. Its four arms had pincers on the end. The robot put the teletransporter in its pocket, shouting, "Confiscated! Let me remind you that teletransporters are not allowed in school." I panicked and told him that I really needed it. The robot's metallic voice replied, "Student Simon, it is not a matter of life and death. Please go to Block 46. Your lessons are about to begin." I soon realised that it was not worth telling him that it really was a matter of life and death. Without the teletransporter, I would not be able to get home. Inside the school, all the walls were made of glass, and there were numbers all lit up and floating around in the air. Like a zombie, I walked in under number 46.
So the blocks were classrooms. Some other kids were already inside. I was about to sit down when a girl with dark hair pulled me backwards and said, "Hey, that's my seat." I blushed and hurried towards the only other free seat. My heart began beating faster because the girl was staring at me strangely. What if she noticed that I was not Simon? Fortunately, just at that moment, some boxes came down from the ceiling and closed us in, one by one, like sardines. Inside, I couldn't hear anything except a voice asking questions. I had to choose an answer on the screen inside the box. It was impossible to copy your neighbour's work. I had to guess the answers. I hoped that Simon was getting on better than me with dictation back in my real class. After the test, we had two lessons with no teacher. We just had to wear a headset over our ears and follow the lessons on a screen. At last, it was break time. I wanted to try and get the teletransporter back. Chapter 5. Cassiopeia. My plan was simple. I would organise a game during break time close to the robots on playground duty. Then I could take the teletransporter out of that nasty robot's pocket. Before I left the block, I walked over to a classmate and asked him, "What shall we play today? Football? Tag?" He gave me a funny look. The girl with dark hair from before turned round and looked at me strangely again. I was beginning to feel uncomfortable, but I carried on talking. "Break time is fun, isn't it?"
"Yeah,"
said the boy. Then he walked towards a door. As everyone was going in that direction, I imagined that it was the way to the playground, so I followed him. What a surprise! Through the door was a large room with mattresses floating on air cushions. Everything was calm and peaceful. There was no chance of organising a game. My plan had failed. I wanted to turn around and leave, but I bumped into the person behind me. It was the girl with dark hair again. She said in a suspicious voice, "Where are you going?" I stuttered, "Somewhere else." I quickly added, "Naps are not really for me."
"It's not a nap. It's a relaxation session," she whispered. "It allows the cells in your brain to regenerate so that you can learn better. If you were the real Simon, you would know that."
Then with a threatening look, she pulled me into a corner and hissed, "What have you done with him? Answer me or I will scream." I had been found out. What a disaster. I told her everything so that she would not start yelling. She became a little friendlier when she heard about the exchange with Simon. Cassiopeia was her name, and she was Simon's best friend. She knew that he had wanted to travel back to my time for ages. She murmured,
"It's crazy how alike you are."
Then she promised to help me return to my own time so that Simon could come back to hers. I asked her if she could lend me her teletransporter. She burst out laughing.
"Are you joking? Teletransporters are too precious. We never lend them."
Just then, a robot announced that it was time for lunch. It was perfect timing, as I was starting to have terrible stomach cramps. I thought it must be hunger, but then I wondered if it was something more serious. Simon had warned me that I should not stay out of my time for more than a certain number of hours. What if my body was starting to go wrong? I felt worried. I glanced at my watch. Phew, I still had 4 hours. Chapter 6. The Plan.
As we walked towards the canteen, Cassiopeia said to me,
"Nobody here has a teletransporter. We must get yours back."
Then she stopped talking because we had joined a queue of children in front of a machine. I thought that was where we would choose what we wanted to eat. I was curious, so I asked them, "What's on the menu?" One of them began to laugh at me.
"Simon, do you think you are still playing one of your historical games?"
"Yes," said a girl standing next to him. "A menu? Whatever next? How about some knives and forks?"
I saw Cassiopeia trying to signal to me not to say anything. Also, it was my turn at the machine. I had to press my thumb on the screen of the machine, and it calculated exactly how many calories I needed. Suddenly, a chocolate bar popped out of the side. That was my meal. It tasted okay, but in a few seconds I had finished eating it. At that moment, I felt really jealous of Simon, who was probably tucking into my steak and chips. Anyway, he was right. Life was good in 2023 compared to this weird future. As we walked across the playground, Cassiopeia said to me,
"This afternoon, we are going on a trip to the video sphere. The robot who confiscated your teletransporter is going with us. It will be a good opportunity to try and get it back. I have a plan."
I had no idea what a video sphere was, but I was really pleased to have an ally. Our class travelled in a flying bus and arrived at a huge sparkly ball. It was the video sphere. At the entrance, a robot was giving out helmets with a visor. We went in and sat down in armchairs that were floating a few centimetres off the ground. I spotted the robot that had confiscated my teletransporter, and I sat down right behind him. Cassiopeia sat next to me, and suddenly she began moaning, pretending to have a sore tummy. The robot pointed an arm at her to diagnose her symptoms. While it was distracted, I quietly slipped my hand into its pocket. My heart was beating fast, but I managed to grab the teletransporter. Unfortunately, just as I thought I had it back, thud, I dropped it. The robot's head swiveled round suddenly and its eyes searched the ground. I just had time to stretch out my foot and push the teletransporter under my seat. Phew! Just at that moment, safety belts clamped automatically around our waists and the lights went out. I just managed to make a sign to tell Cassiopeia that I had the teletransporter. I lowered the visor on my helmet and suddenly I was watching a documentary film about space. Even though my heart was beating fast, I was fascinated. It felt like I could reach out and touch the planets. But when the seat began spinning around in all directions to avoid meteorites, it was not so much fun. I felt a bit queasy as we left the video sphere. Fortunately, school was finished, and more importantly, I had the teletransporter.
Chapter 7. Express Return.
I had to go back to Simon's house and jump inside the time rocket before the 9 hours of time travel were over. Cassiopeia went with me to her friend's house. Fortunately, nobody was in. We hurried down to the basement. I took the teletransporter out of my pocket. I pressed the black button as Simon had told me, but nothing happened.
"The button must have got damaged when the teletransporter fell on the floor," said Cassiopeia.
I looked at my watch.
I only had 5 minutes to get back to my time. What a disaster! I had to get home somehow.
Cassiopeia looked worried as I slipped into the time rocket. Lights started flashing inside the transparent tube and some screens lit up. I stared at the dashboard and said,
"Hey, this control button is almost identical to the one on my game. One-way ticket to the future. It repeats the last action carried out."
Cassiopeia shouted,
"Are you sure? If you press the wrong button, you could find yourself in another era."
I knew it was risky, but I waved at Cassiopeia and pressed the button. There was a flash of lightning, and when I opened my eyes again, I was in my room. What a relief! Simon was lying on my bed waiting for me. He was holding his stomach. I was worried. I asked him, "Are you okay? Quick, you only have about 2 minutes to get home. I hope you're not getting sick, are you?"
"No," muttered Simon. "I just have a sore stomach because I ate steak and chips. And I'm exhausted because I had to run around at break time. I can't wait to go back to my time."
I felt relieved and I laughed. Simon smiled at me, but I could see that he was in even more of a hurry to get back to his home than I had been. I would have liked to talk to him for longer, but time was passing. We quickly exchanged clothes and I gave him back his teletransporter. Then he waved his hand and pressed the red button. Phew, that one was not broken. There was a flash of light in my bedroom and a moment later, Simon had disappeared. I hoped that the damaged teletransporter would not cause him any problems. I stayed there for a few minutes, thinking. Then the front door opened and slammed shut, and I heard Mum's voice saying,
"How was your day, Lewis?"
I replied, "Same as usual." Then to her surprise, I asked,
"Are there any wholemeal cereals left? I'd like some for my snack."
The end.